There is restoration of their freedom and their democratic rights. The Cypriot people will never bow to dictatorship, even though for a moment the brutal force of the armed cars and tanks may have prevailed. After the coup, the agents of the Greek regime in Cyprus appointed a well-known gunman, Nikos Samson, as president, who in turn appointed as ministers known elements and supporters of the terrorist organization EOKAMBI. It may be alleged that what took place in Cyprus is a revolution, and that a government was established based on revolutionary law. This is not the case. No revolution took place in Cyprus, which could be considered as an international matter. It was as an internal matter. It was an invasion which violated the independence and sovereignty of the Republic. And the invasion is continuing so long as there are in Cyprus Greek offices. The results of this invasion will be catalytic for Cyprus if there is no return to constitutional normality and if democratic freedom are not restored. For the purpose of misleading world public opinion, the military regime of Greece announced yesterday the gradual replacement of the Greek officers of the National Guard. But the issue is not their replacement. The issue is their withdrawal. The gesture for replacement has the meaning of admission that the Greek officers now serving in the National Guard were those who carried out the coup. These officers, however, did not act on their own initiative, but upon instructions from Athens. And their replacements will also follow instructions from the Athens regime. Thus, the National Guard will always remain an instrument of the Greek military regime, and I am certain that the members of the Security Council understand this ploy. It may be said that it was the Cyprus government which invited the Greek officers to staff the National Guard. I regret to say that this was a mistake on my part to bestow upon them so much trust and confidence. They abused that trust and confidence, and instead of helping in the defense of the Iran's independence, sovereignty, and territorial integrity, they themselves became the aggressors. Mr. President, I am obliged to say that the policy of the military regime of Greece towards Cyprus, and particularly towards the Greek Cypriots, has been insincere. I wish to stress that it was a policy of duplicity. For some time, talks were going on between the Greek and Turkish Cypriots in search of a peaceful solution to the Cyprus problem, which on many occasions has occupied the time of the Security Council and the General Assembly of the United Nations. The representative of the Secretary General and two constitutional experts from Greece and Turkey have been attending the talks. The Security Council has repeatedly renewed, twice yearly, the mandate of the peacekeeping force in Cyprus, expressing every time the hope for a speedy solution of the problem. It cannot be said that up to now the progress of the talks has been satisfactory. But how could there be any progress in the talks while the policy on Cyprus of the regime in Athens has been double-faced? It was agreed by all the parties concerned that the talks were taking place on the basis of independence. The regime of Athens agreed also to that, and time and again the Greek Ministry of Foreign Affairs declared that the position of Greece on this issue was clear. If that were the case, why had the military regime of Greece created and supported the terrorist organization Eugambi, whose purpose was stated to be the union of Cyprus with Greece, and whose members called themselves unionists? Inside the camps of the National Guard, the Greek officers continually accused me that while Enosis was feasible, its realization was undermined by me. When reminded that Greece has made its position clear on this and that it supported independence, their reply was that no attention should be given to the words of diplomats. Under such circumstances, how was it possible for the talks to arrive at a positive result? The double-faced policy of the Greek regime was one of the main obstacles to the progress of the talks. Under the circumstances that have now been created in Cyprus, I cannot foresee the prospects of the talks. I would rather say that there are no prospects at all. An agreement that may be reached by the talks would be devoid of any value because there is no elected leadership to deal with the matter. The coup d'etat of the military regime of Greece constitutes an arrest of the progress of the talks towards a solution. Moreover, it will be a continuous source of anomaly in Cyprus, the repercussions of which will be very grave and far-reaching if this situation is permitted to continue even for a short time. I appeal to the members of the Security Council to do their utmost to put an end to this anomalous situation which was created by the